This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will bless you. Now, again, if you'd like to contact me, you can do so either through my website or through regular mail. I'll give you both of those addresses at the close of the program. This program can be re-listened to on the website, and there's a weekly meditation that you might find helpful on that website, as well as some tracts and other helpful information, including some questions and answers that some people have asked me about over the years. Now, we've been looking at a character in the Old Testament that I find extremely interesting by the name of Job. Most people have heard of Job. They know that he was a man who was really a righteous man who lost everything. And we looked at that last time. He lost his family, he lost his possessions, and he lost his health. And we see it from the standpoint of God telling us the story. But Job didn't know what we know. And so Job was suffering, not realizing that Satan was testing him and that God was trusting Job with this trial as a testimony to Satan. Now, we've been looking at Old Testament worthies and trying to gain New Testament lessons for ourselves by looking at them. And Job is an extremely good example of one that we could well emulate or copy in our relationship with God in our current day. There's some verses that really stick out in my mind when we look at Job. The first one is Job chapter 1 and verse 9. So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Now, we dealt with this last time. Job had been blessed by God. And Satan was basically saying, the reason Job is serving you is because of the blessings that he has. Take the blessings away and he'll curse you to your face. Now, I realize that when we serve God, we get blessed. There is just no doubt about it. We get peace with God. We get a confidence in the future. We're willing to recognize that this life is not what we live for. We live for eternity and for a life with Christ. But while we're here, we walk in fellowship with the Lord, and our lives are just better, no matter how you cut it, when we trust the Lord. Of course, when I say our lives are better, we really don't know what our lives might have been like if we'd never trusted the Lord. But most people that I talk to are happier, and in most cases, they use their money better. I'm not going to say they're wealthier, but they use their money better. And because they've given up habits that perhaps were not good for them, they're healthier. And the relationships with other people is better because they lose their anger and their pride and their try to be more long-suffering. So just in general, we do get something when we serve the Lord. But can we serve the Lord when it appears that those blessings are being removed from us, when our friends forsake us, when our wealth is gone, when even our wife says, "Curse God and die"? Can we serve God then? When our comforters are saying, "You've sinned. You may not realize it, but you've sinned. God wouldn't do this to you if you hadn't." So Job is a testimony of one who is faithful when he doesn't understand what is going on. And we learn some real lessons from this. Does Job fear God for nothing? Well, in a sense, he did. He served God because God was God. He was his creator. And we're going to find out that he was his redeemer as well. Another verse that is extremely important to me is Job 16 and verse 2. Job, after he's been listening to these three men who sat silent for 7 days, probably the wisest thing that they could have done, then when they began to talk to him and charge him with sin that he had not committed, he says, "Miserable comforters are you all." And it's interesting that sometimes we go to try to be a help to people, and we don't really listen to them, and we make assumptions that are not true. And that was the case with Job's friends. Job's friends were looking at Job through the eyes of a natural man, not a spiritual man. And they weren't listening to Job. Job was maintaining his integrity because, as we said last time, when God took our sins and punished them on the cross. And for those of us that are worshipers of the Lord, who have trusted in the Lord, we're never punished for our sins, whether they're past sins, present sins, or future sins. But there's times when we need to be corrected. And in Job's case, whether he needed correction or whether his friends thought he should be punished unjustly because in the future Christ would die for his sins, because Job was a believer in the Lord, and that would be future, but he was getting credit for it in it because of his faith in his current life, in his current status with God. And so what, regardless of the case, Job's friends just simply were not good comforters. And it's true that oftentimes when we go to visit with people, we should sit and listen to them and not try to be the guru who can straighten everything out for them. Sometimes we give counsel that we should not give. Sometimes we make assumptions about problems that we should not make. And I do believe that sometimes the best comfort we can be to people who are in trial is to just go be with them and hold their hand and pray for them. And if they ask us to give counsel, then listen and give good counsel based on Scripture. Don't just assume that they have sinned, and as a result of sinning, that there is something that they need to correct in their lives. Don't just assume that. So now in Job chapter 4 and verse 7, we have another verse that is probably more applicable to the friends that were comforting Job, because this was their assumption. And they said, "Remember now, whoever perished being innocent." So they're saying, "Job, you must have done something wrong. God, a just God, would never do this to you unless you had done something wrong." Well, actually, God was not doing this to Job, and we need to remember that. He was allowing Satan to do this to Job. And sometimes we make statements that maybe aren't too advised again. We make them when we're trying to comfort people without knowing what's going on behind the scenes in a spiritual sense. But sometimes we say God is in control. Well, God is always in control in the sense that he sets limits and he could change anything. He could do what he wants to do. But God doesn't always exercise that control. Satan would not have been able to afflict Job if God had not allowed him to do it. So I suppose there's a sense in which you could say God was in control. But to say God is in control, the way we usually say that is to charge God with causing Job's problems, even though he allowed them, rather than charging Satan with allowing, causing Job's problems. And so I'm very careful when I say God is in control. I would say that God, the omnipotent God, the omniscient God, the omnipresent God, is ultimately setting the limits and is ultimately in control. But there's a lot of times that he lets things happen that he does not cause. And so be very careful when you say God is in control. Be careful that you're not charging God with sinning or causing a person to sin. God just does not do that. God is good all the time. So, whoever perished being innocent? Well, again, we're going to see in a few minutes that that's a statement that brings us to Job as a picture of the Lord Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus perished even though he was innocent. We know that he never sinned. We know that there was no guile found in his mouth. We know that he was the innocent lamb that bore away the sin of the world. So whoever perished being innocent? Well, if we look at perishing as a loss of well-being, not a loss of eternal being, but a loss of well-being, the Lord perished being innocent. He was proven innocent by Pilate, by Pilate's wife. He was proven innocent in every tribunal he stood before, and yet he was taken out and crucified as a common criminal. So we have to understand that there's a lot of principles and truisms that we've been taught all our life that aren't always applicable to the present situation, and we have to look at things from the standpoint of faith and from the standpoint of what God is revealing to us. Now, in Job 19 and verse 25, there's a verse that we need to know and remember. Because Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Job then was confident that there was and is an afterlife, and he was prepared for it. I know that my Redeemer liveth. In mentioning that his Redeemer lives, he's really telling us that he needed to be redeemed. We are the Lord's, in a sense, by creation. He made us. But because of sin, he lost us, and separation came between us and God. And now, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has bought us back to himself. He has redeemed us. And even though Job lived before the cross, he had to be, by faith, looking forward to something that took place long after his death, when the Lord died at the cross and the Lord had redeemed Job. So this is telling us that while Job was a righteous man and shunned evil, he was still a sinner that needed to be saved. And that's true of all of us, isn't it? We need a Redeemer. But Job had confidence in his Redeemer. He wasn't talking about hoping that he would see his Redeemer. He's talking about knowing that he would see his Redeemer. And we have emphasized over and over again on these programs that this Bible was not written so we would wonder about our relationship with God. It was written so we would know where we stand with God. And so we look at scriptures of assurance, such as John 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, doesn't hope, he hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Job had that kind of a confidence, and I have that kind of confidence, not based on my life, but based on the truth that Christ died for my sins, and I've trusted in that truth, and it has given me peace. And so Job knew where he stood with God. So as we look at Job, we've learned some important lessons. Number one, many of our trials are because we have been trusted with that trial in order to be a witness to Satan. I don't understand why God wants to prove to Satan that there are faithful people, because when Satan himself was not faithful, but he does. And we need to remember that. And we need to remember that sometimes when we are corrected, we're not being punished. But if we're being corrected, God will tell us what we're being corrected for. Job didn't know what he was being corrected for. So we have to assume that the attack was from Satan. So another lesson is that we want to be a good comforter, not a miserable comforter. So we need to sit and listen. But the real lesson is that we need the confidence that Job had in our Redeemer, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the fact that he has bought us back from the slave market of sin, and we need to be trusting him even today so that we can say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson. Bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We commit ourselves into your care in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.